You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, friends. Glad you're here. Coming to you solo from Prague this week. And I'll start with the biggest story in the world right now, which is hard to talk about, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. If you're a prayerful person, I want to ask that you please join me in saying a silent prayer for his wife and children, whether you're driving or laying down or going for a walk or at the gym. Let's do that now, please. Just a brief moment of silence. Thank you. I believe in the power of prayer, so thank you for that. I remember the first time I'd ever heard of Charlie Kirk. It was a little over 10 years ago. I had heard Candace Owens talk about some young genius that she knew, that he was going to be president someday. And then she said, and this is what piqued my interest, she said, he's so smart. He's been reading Thomas Sowell since he was a teenager. And I instantly wanted to learn more about him because I, too, started reading Sowell when I was young, not quite a teenager. But surely when I got out of college, I started devouring every Thomas Sowell book that I could get my hands on. And I've read some of his books more than once. The book I read on my phone the most, if I were to open my app, the book app on my phone, it would be Basic Economics by Thomas Sowell. And it's a book I recommend everyone read, in part because a lot of our problems in America stem from economic illiteracy. And one of the many takeaways you'll come away with reading Basic Economics is knowing that if a socialist understood economics, he wouldn't be a socialist. And although Sowell is an academic, his writing is very accessible. It's easy to read. My favorite book of his is probably Wealth, Poverty, and Politics. That's a book that I've reread. It's so good. And I also enjoyed A Conflict of Visions, Intellectuals in Society, and The Thomas Sowell Reader. I think those are all the books of his that I've read. But The Thomas Sowell Reader is a collection of his many essays. So if you're into short little essays that are really good, The Thomas Sowell Reader is one I recommend and might be the one you want to start with. It's one I traded for with a buddy at the gym. Kyle Thomas, I know you listen sometimes. I don't remember which book I traded for that one, but I know we intended to return them to each other. But I travel a lot, and that lovely gym that where I met my wife, she worked there, and her boss, Scott, I want to shout out to him, RIP. He would let us work out there when we'd dip into town, and he had the best calves in the gym, since we talk about calves a lot. But he tragically passed away just a couple years ago, in his 40s, so RIP, buddy. Anyway, reading Sowell, I'm convinced, will educate you more than any, let's say, undergrad university course on economics could. And he also talks about American culture and the mindset of intellectuals who he interacts with regularly, and you learn a lot. So I highly recommend Thomas Sowell. But I'll tell you, with Charlie Kirk being murdered in front of the world like that, it comes right on the heels of a Ukrainian refugee, 23-year-old woman who was brutally murdered on a train in Charlotte. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I was scrolling social media last night, well, actually, 2 nights ago, I guess. And I saw the video of Charlie Kirk getting shot and the blood. And I kept saying over and over, oh, my God, oh, my God. It was truly horrific. And I think we all knew that that wasn't something he was going to survive. I'll tell you what upset me a little bit is that Glenn Beck, he was talking to Megyn Kelly, and he said that his daughter was in the tent. And so he had inside information and said he had a pulse, which gave people hope. There was no way he was going to survive that, I don't think. All this reminds me of the 1960s, when all the protesters and rioters took to the street to protest Vietnam. You know, that was the first time in the history of the world that people had been exposed to images of what happens in war. And it rightfully disgusted people. Well, I think the video of Charlie Kirk being hit with a kill shot in the neck like that for all of us to see, I think that will have the same effect. If we just heard about it on the news that it happened or read it in a newspaper, it it'd still be a huge thing, but it's way worse having seen the video. And what I'm seeing online is many men are now radicalized, especially our youth, and they weren't before. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Charlie Kirk, of course, founded Turning Point USA when he was just 18 years old. I don't know if they know what they've unleashed with this, and I don't think they care. Communists are ruthless and bloodthirsty. And the faster we understand that, the faster we can root out the scourge that is the Communist Party in America. And they don't call themselves communists. They're not going to show up calling themselves the Bolsheviks, which I've addressed before. And by communist, I mean Democrat. I think it's safe to say that's what they've become, which I've been concerned about since my 20s. But unfortunately, I didn't know many people who agreed with me. So I mostly kept my mouth shut. How long did it take people in Silicon Valley to come around? It took debunking the fine people hoax for a lot of people to see what the hell was going on. But all the smart people seem to be on one side. When I'm asked why I care about politics so much, it's because I've studied history and I know how this goes. It goes like this. Exactly what's going on. They want us dead, in case that hasn't registered with you. So they have to be crushed. They have to be rooted out and crushed using all legal means possible. They just assassinated the founder and leader of the biggest conservative political organization in America, maybe in the world. You know, Turning Point's budget is comparable to that of the Heritage Foundation. They're a huge organization. So he was incredibly successful and so articulate. I wonder where that money goes now. Where are they going to apply their energies sitting on this huge war chest? You know, energy's not destroyed. You can kill one man, but his spirit, Charlie Kirk's spirit and energy, they live on. And that energy, I believe, is being picked up by a lot of right-leaning people right now. I know I'm energized. I'm livid. I'm reminded, for some reason, it just popped in my head, Eminem's diss song of Ja Rule. Remember that from 06? Eminem had a young daughter, as Charlie Kirk does. And at the close of it, he says, "If I get killed for this rap, I got a million in cash that says I will get you back in Haley's name." Powerful song. The last podcast I listened to with Charlie Kirk was when he appeared on Tucker's podcast, and he talked about what he believed Russiagate was all about, that trying to tie Trump to Russia, it wasn't just a fabrication to hamstring Trump's first term, although it accomplished that. That may have been a side benefit to them, but they wanted to create the illusion that Putin and Trump are basically the same. Paint Putin as a villain, someone they're trying to maybe provoke a war with, while Trump was saying, "Oh, we should get along with the Russians. Why do they have to be our enemy?" Remember, Trump's an outsider who was already extraordinarily wealthy and couldn't be bought by money laundered through Ukraine or with high-paying positions to his cronies and, you know, his friends or family on the board of these NGOs. You know, Trump played it straight, as evidenced by how hard it was once the communists took power. And, you know, the communists' MO is show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Well, they had a tough time finding a crime to put him in prison for the rest of his life. So we got these batshit crazy leftists like E. Jean Carroll to accuse him of rape 30 years ago, see if they could seize all of his cash. And then, of course, if Big Tish up in New York City, if she could have seized his assets, she would have. His buildings, she wanted all of that. She wanted his license revoked in New York so that he could never do business again the rest of his life, nor his sons. Remember, they found a pretty good actress in California to do the same to Kavanaugh? Unsuccessfully, I should add. And when they couldn't get him with rape accusations, what'd the commies do? They tried to kill him. Does that sound familiar? So they said Trump is Hitler and he's got to be dealt with. That's the view they've espoused for years. We're at a Hitlerian level of politics in America. And it's a prelude to violence. It encourages violence because you got to get rid of Hitler, right? If all the common sense folks get killed in order to bring the communists back into power, that's what they're going to do. Commies are bloodthirsty. I will say that again. Sam Hyde said it best. He said, "All the snark and word games, the moral posturing and linguistic faggotry, this is what lies behind it. Bloodlust. You can't listen to their words. I've studied communism in great detail. I am living this summer in a place where communism reigns supreme. I'm going to the Communism Museum in a few days for about the seventh time. You don't pay attention to their words. All the demons are actors who are well-practiced in front of a camera. They will talk about how they condemn political violence while they're planning and encouraging it. You have to watch their actions, not their words. I mean, some of them reveal themselves, which is so, just shows how stupid they are. A lot of them are losing their jobs. And oh, they all work in education and healthcare, a bunch of nurses I see. It's so incredible. Government, low-level government employees, of course, right? Those are our leftists. But some of them, the fringe, are revealing themselves to be celebrating somebody getting shot in the neck. You watch their actions, not their words, as you would with any batshit crazy woman or femboy. A lot of people believe it's Barack Obama who led the ushering in of the communist element in America. What many forget, however, is where Obama's career started. You remember Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn? You remember how he couldn't get any information about Obama's past? Well, his political career started in Bill Ayers' house. Bill Ayers, for those of you who don't know, is a retired university professor and domestic terrorist. He started the Weather Underground. You know what they used to further their ends? Violence and bombs. What is it, 90% of university professors are leftists? And then somebody shows up to their campus with an opposing view that they've most likely never heard before, and they can't take it. They've got to silence him with a bullet. It'd be like a priest going into a radical mosque in Dearborn and sharing the love of Christ. That wouldn't go well. And Bernadine Dorn, she co-founded the Weather Underground. She is also a retired professor. Do you know her story? Back in the 70s, during the height of their little reign of terror, she had to go on the run and was on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. And she finally came out of hiding in 1980, the year I was born, pleaded guilty to some misdemeanor charges. I think it was aggravated battery and maybe bail jumping, something like that. I mean, the communists hadn't come up with no cash bail yet, evidently. But the group, you know what they claimed to be? Not only anti-imperialist, but you guessed it, anti-racist. If they had a son, he'd look like Trayvon, right? For those of you who've been tuning into this podcast for a while, remember I'd say back around 2020, I realize I'm jumping around. I haven't slept well the last few nights. I mean, I hate what's happening. After watching the video, it's hard to sleep. But I said around the 2020 election, if you could go back to early 30s Germany and do something to prevent Hitler from getting elected, would you? Or should you? Well, a lot of brainwashed, useful idiots, they were put in that predicament in 2020 because of all the rhetoric. You got to keep Hitler from office by any means necessary. And boy, did they go to extremes. So as Kirk explained it in that podcast I referred to a few minutes ago, was they wanted to make Trump out to be Putin's good buddy, that Putin helped him get elected, which of course was all bullshit. They had plans to go to war with Putin and were going to go to war with Trump, the evil Nazi dictator wannabe. Or he was. They didn't even say wannabe, I think. He was going to, quote, end democracy. And then they brought in all the jazz hand flamers, Walls and Newsom and Sisson and all the rest of the flaming effers. A bunch of trannies and brown-shirted trantifas to create all the chaos. You say you're for democracy and against political violence while actively inciting and encouraging it. And doing your best, of course, to end democracy while saying you're trying to save it. I'm mad as hell about all this shit. And so I may be cursing more than usual. I apologize. But this is infuriating. I mean, why? Because I'm sitting here with a microphone in my hand. That's why. And speaking my opinion into a microphone. And you know what? That's what got Charlie Kirk killed. That's what he was doing. Talking into a goddamn microphone. And he was shot in the fucking throat. That's all he was doing. Sharing what he believed was right, voicing his opinion. So in that sense, I am Charlie Kirk. Every God-fearing man who believes in the First and Second Amendment are Charlie Kirk. If you advocate for your faith and you believe in the nuclear family, you believe nuclear families are what's best for society, that That's what Charlie Kirk believed. He embodied the spirit of a free and open exchange of ideas in the public square. He did so publicly. He was whip smart. He was uber talented. And he was so effective at what he did that they had to take him off the board. He was influencing millions of young people and definitely was a prospect to be president someday. They couldn't take out the current president, so maybe they took out a future one. Who knows? But they'd silence us all if they could. And they did, actually. They silenced many of us leading up to the 2020 election when big tech was ideologically captured. And they started censoring truth seekers who could see through all the BS, the black squares on Instagram and all the racist crap that followed. Who could see Joe Biden was demented or who know money laundering when they see it. But Charlie Kirk, man, he was very popular among young people. He had a presence and an intellect that can't be replaced. He was truly a happy warrior, which, remember, that's what the angry commies hoped they could be. They tried to profess that they were, remember, while just stewing in their guts, just ready to pounce and put people behind bars and kill them if they could. I think of a few other giant intellects that'll never be replaced, like Scalia or Breitbart. And remember Breitbart? I see that video is going around now where he says war. The intellectual heft of men like them, they don't get replaced. And they know that. So they're eliminated. They're taken off the board. I can't say Scalia and Breitbart were assassinated, but doesn't all this shit make you wonder? They made Charlie Kirk a widow and left his kids without a father. I relate to Charlie Kirk in a lot of ways. I know what it's like to have demons want your daughter to grow up without a father, and it's scary. It is terrifying. Did you see the look on the look of terror on the Ukrainian girl's face, Irina Zarutska? I know what that feels like, and I don't wish it on anybody. Well, I can't say that. Maybe with the exception of the pieces of shit enemies within, I do wish terror on their faces. I want them to feel what that's like. But by the grace of God, I'm still here, and I'll be talking more about what I experienced next month, October. Charlie Kirk preached love of Christ every chance he got, and the importance of getting married and starting families, which I do some of that too. We're up against demonic forces. They let Trinidad into the country. Remember Trump telling us they're not sending their best? He was right again, of course. And we're starting to kill them, thankfully, those who attempt to traffic fentanyl into our country, which is my number one issue, by the way. Have you wondered if it's possible that this was a Venezuelan sharpshooter getting revenge? Maybe one of Maduro's henchmen? Remember, Biden and Mayorkas, the traitors to our country, they allowed anyone and everyone who wanted to come to the U.S., anybody who wanted to come through, they allowed them in through the southern border. And I always said, our enemies are stupid if they're not taking advantage of this. So of course we have Venezuelans who want to kill close friends and allies of Trump. You know, if they can't get to Trump, I'm sure he's super protected. Or it could be Iran retaliating. Who knows? It could be a Trantifa. Or just your everyday lefty lunatic who you might sit next to at work. You know, a lot of them are letting their views known, and yeah, they would kill people. They celebrated when Trump was almost killed. They're celebrating now. But you get Trinidaragua and Trantifa to create chaos and destroy civilization, and you come in and rule over the ashes. You know, think about this. What do you do if you can't make money legitimately? You take the reins of power. And you get your son involved in Ukraine and China. See if you can't get him to buy a painting for $1 million or sell some other influence. But yeah, Charlie Kirk, he's you, he's me. In a way, he's us, we're him. Je suis Charlie. Any one of us who dares to speak our opinion. Je suis Charlie, as they used to say. That was, Charlie Hebdo, 2015. Somebody tried to draw Muhammad and they killed 12 people in Paris. I've long said the communists would kill us. They would put us in camps if they could, for sure. We saw that during the COVID psyop. Communists will lie. They will cheat. They will steal. They will kill you if it helps further their cause. And if one of their comrades succeeds in killing you, they will celebrate. as we've been seeing leftist scumbags celebrating the murder of this married father of a four-year-old and a one-year-old who are going to live their entire lives without a father. And what Kirk Doohan was admirable. He went into the belly of the beast and just wanted to debate. He'd go on college campuses and encourage them to get married and have children. He had a four-year-old. I have a four-year-old. And you may have heard when I had her on the podcast that all my bedtime stories end with a girl growing up, getting married in a castle usually, and then having a baby. Do you think some blue hair with a ring in her nose full of boogers who hates her dad and doesn't ever want kids, you think she's going to be concerned about a couple of kids growing up without their dad? I don't think so. You know, Scott Adams warned us many years ago that Republicans would be hunted. Of course, he was mocked for saying it at the time, but then you had 1,500 trespassers who would get thrown in jail following our first Soviet show trials. They even threw Peter Navarro in prison. Steve Bannon went to prison. And then the lead Republican, our president, was nearly killed with a headshot. And then killed nearly, he was almost killed again by somebody who spent time in Ukraine. What was he doing there, recruiting Afghans, trying to get them passports to come fight in the Ukraine war? The communists in our country must be rooted out. They must be rooted out. Who knows the story of Julius Caesar? You know, he was assassinated because he showed too much mercy to his enemies. See if this sounds familiar. The enemy within, at that time, tried to say he was consolidating too much power and was on the verge of being a king, which threatened the republic. Maybe they even had a no kings protest or something, I don't know. But they took him out. And then came Augustus, or Octavian, as he was also known. He learned from Caesar's mistakes and then rooted out the enemy within. And then the Roman Empire magically had peace for the next two centuries. I saw where somebody who calls himself Howling Mutant on X, he said, "Don't let the Bolshevik ghouls celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination bother you too much. If they had any ability to see the big picture, they would not be nearly as smug." Which I think perfectly encapsulates their worldview. It's unfortunate, but many of them are smart but terribly unwise. As I witnessed firsthand, I used to work for a communist. So unwise, it was unbelievable. And as I've said, I'm living in this part of the world where communism was the rule of the law of the land for five decades. More than one-third of the world's population during the 20th century lived under communist governments, which communist governments, those of you who don't know, it's characterized by one-party rule, and they reject private property rights, and they'll confiscate your property and send you into the countryside. That happened. They don't want capitalism. They restrict freedom of religion. They arrested priests. They suppress the opposition, of course, since it's one-party rule. There's state control of the media and big tech. Well, not big tech. I'm kidding. There was no big tech, of course, back then. I confused the old communists, same as the new communists. If they had big tech, I'm sure they would have let everybody speak freely, right? Yeah. But remember, the communists feed on lies, deception, and projection. If it seems like the opposite of everything they espouse is what is actually true, everything they profess to be true is not true, that's because that's the way they operate. You do not want communists to take power. As Trump said following the Ukrainian girl getting killed on the train in Charlotte, we have to be vicious. This is spiritual warfare. Because communism is a demonic ideology of destruction and death. The only ones who benefit are those at the very top. They will consolidate their power. They will end free speech. They will launder money to themselves and live like kings, all while imprisoning you for thought crimes and kill you if they can. Remember, the Gulag Archipelago, Solzhenitsyn said, when people were arrested, the first words out of their mouth were usually, "What for?" They had no idea. Find the man, they'll find the crime. And all the comrades will laugh at you. At least until the boot is on their neck. Remember, they don't have wisdom. They don't see the forest for the trees. And talk to anybody here. I do this all the time. Nobody wants to return to communism. The communists will not call themselves communists. So you know. You know, they don't teach about the dangers of communism in American schools. They teach us about the ills of Nazism. You ever wonder why that is? That our ideologically captured universities don't teach about what communism leads to, despite it leading to millions and millions of more deaths ever occurred under Nazism? Why do you suppose that is? Here's one of the nicer posts by a communist I saw on social media. Some guy said, Charlie Kirk was killed. I disagreed with his ideas. He once said gun deaths were unfortunately worth it to preserve the Second Amendment. But no disagreement or ideology justifies violence. Political violence is never the answer. Not from lone gunmen, not from angry mobs, not from anyone who believes force is stronger than ideas. I wanted to debate Charlie, not witness his voice silenced. When lives are cut short this way, we all lose. It deepens our divisions and erodes the democracy we claim to defend. Tonight, my thoughts are with Charlie's family, his friends, and those grieving this senseless act. May we find the courage to argue passionately with words and reject violence in all its forms. Did you catch? I want to highlight the backhand in that. He says, I disagreed with his ideas. He once said gun deaths were unfortunately worth it to preserve the Second Amendment. But no disagreement or ideology justifies violence. That is an underhanded dig. Him saying that Kirk said gun deaths are unfortunately worth it to preserve the Second Amendment. What these idiots don't realize, because communists don't get it until the boot is on their neck, is that they have to personally experience some terror in their own life to understand. And that's because they're childlike emotionally and psychologically. And what they don't realize is Charlie Kirk isn't like them. They don't understand people like Charlie Kirk. They don't understand us. That's a lot of what wisdom is. It's an understanding of people, and it's an understanding of reality where you don't need to experience something to get it. We think about past, present, and future when making decisions. The if-then logic stream that runs through that courses through the wise man. It's an ever-present part of their decision making. And if Charlie Kirk could speak from the grave, he wouldn't change his opinion on that just because it was he who was assassinated. He would still, I'm convinced, he would still tell you that gun deaths are an unfortunate externality of us having the Second Amendment. What happened to him personally wouldn't change his opinion on what he believes is best for the country. That's how wise people think. Well, what is best for the country? And he would die for your right to say stupid shit. He did die for your right to say stupid shit. If we don't know anything about Thomas Crooks and nothing about Ryan Ruth, why wouldn't they stop trying to kill people if they're getting away with it? They still haven't captured the guy who shot Kirk. Whew. All the politicians on the communist side saying they're praying for Kirk's family. You know what that is, right? Obama, and I saw Obama did this. But that whole gang, they never talk about praying for anybody. But they're chameleons, they're politicians, they're actors. If you're an atheist, they'll tell you that you're in their thoughts. If you're Christian, they're praying for you. They're total frauds. They're politicking. And we'd all be silenced right now if not for Elon Musk. In a video posted the day before he died, Charlie Kirk said he wanted us to say the name Irina Zarutska, so I'm saying it again. She is, of course, the young woman killed in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Ukrainian refugee. She was brutally stabbed in the neck, completely unaware of what was happening to her or why it was happening to her. And I think the term senseless murder is overused, especially since probably every murder is senseless. But with her, it's very applicable because nobody knows why. Well, we have some idea, right? When they released the longer version of the video, they were saying that, or he said that he got that white girl. So that part of the video was delayed coming out, but it's out now, and I suspect the only place you can see it or hear it is on the free speech platform where we can speak our mind, where narratives go to die. So Trump said we need to be vicious, and he's right with the criminal element within trying to destroy our society. And I really like the way he handled it. He gave a speech from the Oval Office, and he held pictures up for the world to see. And one of the things I think about is not being a race communist. You realize that you know that only somebody who isn't racist could do that. And that's partly why I like what he did. But he's so good at the visual, the spectacle. Trump I'm talking about. And that's something that we can all business people or marketers or sellers, it's something we can all learn from. He communicates in a persuasive visual way, or what Marshall McLuhan called visual communication. And man, the look of terror on her face after she'd just been butchered is now emblazoned in our memory banks forever, if you had the bad fortune of seeing it. It was awful. It was enraging, actually. And then you it's like the Charlie Kirk thing is just a pile on for what we witnessed just 24 hours before that. And I do think that I feel that one more than I otherwise would, because I talk to Ukrainian refugees just like her all the time. In fact, there's this one gal, Tanya, who I see at the office here every day, and she's a sweet girl, and she fled Ukraine and now works for UNICEF here in Prague, and she's been here 3 years since the war started, and now she's helping others who seek to escape the war in Ukraine. And I don't know how old she is, but I would guess she's about 23, same as the young woman killed in Charlotte. I was on the train this morning on the way here, and something I realized is that I look at just about everybody's face before I sit down. And I didn't know that I was doing that before. I sort of did it unthinkingly. And then after I sat down, I thought about the terror this young gal must have experienced, just evidenced by the look on her face, and that this she was stabbed in the neck by this animal piece of shit sitting behind her. And not to mention all the excrement sitting around her, who did nothing to help. They couldn't even bring themselves to fake concern. Infuriating. I would think even some awful sitting on that train would have pretended to care. Some awfuls care about people, right? Maybe not white people, but if it's a woman, probably second to last person some awful would help, right? If their hierarchy of need or hierarchy of those they need to pretend to care for, if they had one, it'd be what at the top would be a tranny and more virtue points for them if it's a transvestite POC. And then it'd probably be a POC LBG, and then just a regular old LBG cutie, and down to the not so melaninized at the bottom of the list, which would be white folks. But yeah, this poor soul, this Ukrainian gal, would be second to last with the white man at the bottom of the list, the privileged ones they call them. But she was a Ukrainian refugee. They're supposed to love Ukraine, right? Of course not. They wouldn't have known that she was Ukrainian. So they probably would have done what the other passengers did and ignore somebody dying beside them. Who knows? But if there isn't enough pigment in your skin, if your skin doesn't have a darker shade to it, I don't think they could bring themselves to even pretend to give a shit, because they believe they're on the side of the angels, and helping white people doesn't make them feel that way, as if they're on the side of the angels. If it did, you ever think about that? What if the average American communist felt good about themselves if they were to help your everyday white person? What would that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it'd look like. We'd have Congress people right now draped in the Ukrainian flag, taking a knee, while socially distanced, of course. And there'd be gay mayors pretending to cry at the girl's golden casket. Might even start saying Ukrainian lives matter. That's probably too far, I realize. But if there's anything they've expressed less concern for than Ukrainians dying, come to think of it, I don't know what that would be. But this is all so ugly. I just hate it. I hate it. But yeah, if that were a poor... I don't know, if that were a tranny POC, they probably would have said something like, somebody get help. Because at least, you know, part of their overeducation, they at least learned, presumably, that there are now cameras everywhere. But yeah. Charlie Kirk said, if you believe in something, you need to have the courage to fight for those ideas, not run away from them or try and silence them. Then when I got in the office, I went to the restroom. I was standing at the urinal. First thought I had, there was a big guy coming out of the stall to go wash his hands, and I thought, he could stab me in the neck, and there wouldn't be much I could do about it. So, yeah, fortunately, we're in a place this summer that doesn't have much of this crap that's going on in America. The crime rate in Prague is about half that of Berlin, and they had less than half the crime that Paris did last year. The per capita murder rate is 0.45 per 100,000. And that's compared to, say, America, which is like 7 per 100,000. And if you're curious, the highest per capita murder rate in the world at almost 50 per 100,000 people is Jamaica. I've been to Jamaica once, and I stayed on the resort except to go zip lining. But if I went back to Jamaica, I don't know about zip lining. The lowest murder rates in the world, it'd be Singapore, Switzerland, Iceland, Japan, Norway. I read something Nick Watts said that I thought was appropriate. He said, conservatives say that guns are for sport, hunting, and self-defense because that's what they use them for. Liberals say that guns are for killing people because that's what they use them for. It's pretty good. We've lived through an entire brainwashing of useful idiots who aren't smart enough to see through bullshit. Either that or they root for it because the boot has not been on their neck yet. They don't know what this leads to. They lack wisdom. I'm sure they realize that diversity means just fewer white people and that inclusion means the exclusion of white people, men especially. And that equity means, you guessed it. Remember they redefined equity? It was to create legal cover to take money and careers from white people. Oh, man. Let's talk about... Yeah, I think about, you know, it sucks to be at the whim of your own country's leadership. So, for example, if your leadership wants to import third world migrants in an attempt to get more votes and help keep the current leadership in power, which is what they did, there's only so much you can do about it. And it makes me think about Hamas and Palestinians. Like, if your daughter were kidnapped and taken into a tunnel, would you want to kill everyone around them until your daughter was released? Remember Jocelyn Nungri, the 12-year-old who was raped and strangled to death in Houston? You know, within a few weeks of that murder by two Venezuelan migrants, which imagine if we could have seen that her raped and strangled to death and then pushed into a shallow bayou. What if that were on video? What would the reaction have been? My best man had a Venezuelan show up at his house within weeks of that happening. And my buddy lives in a pretty affluent neighborhood in Houston. It's not gated or anything, but it's well-to-do, let's say. And this Venezuelan wearing an ankle brace shows up at his house. He was home alone with his daughter. And the guy asked if he could use a phone charger. And thankfully, there's not much more to it than that. There's no more to the story. He left. But something like that had never happened before. And it happened right around the time of this 12-year-old girl's murder just a few miles away. Or what about the residents of the apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, that were conquered by Trendy Aragua? Remember Martha Raddatz, the ABC News actress who cried when Trump won the election against Hillary? She said that the incidents in Aurora were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, trying to play it down. And then J.D. Vance said, "Do you hear yourself, Margaret?" So, you know, what do you do when your leadership isn't acting in your interests, but acting in their own interests? I'd like to think Americans would take to the streets and demand release of hostages, for example, and do what they can to appeal to the rest of the world. It's such an unfortunate predicament to be in. You know, if you have a country run by a terrorist group, but that's what happened on October 7th. Yeah, if a foreign terrorist group kidnapped your daughter and took her into a tunnel system and refused to release her, would you be so mad and kill everybody within smelling distance until your little girl is released? That's kind of one of those things you contemplate when you're able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and think of things from different angles. Yeah, I don't want to get into the Israel-Palestine thing now, but let's see what else is going on in the world. Oh, did you see the Sam Altman interview with Tucker? I haven't watched all of it. Sam Altman is the OpenAI guy. It's about 34 minutes in, and Tucker asks him if one of his employees was murdered. So he was preparing to release what he believed were crimes that OpenAI were committing, and then he died by suicide, and he wasn't depressed or anything. And Tucker asks Sam Altman about that, about 34 minutes into the interview. And if you're interested to see if you think he's telling the truth, you should watch it. Microsoft is a company I take a keen interest in. Full disclosure, I'm an investor, and I have been for a while now. they recently ran into trouble with Azure, which is one of their many products or services in this case. And Microsoft, as you know, has many big revenue generators. They do gaming. They have Microsoft Office, which we all use Word and Excel or have at one time. LinkedIn, a lot of us are on there. SQL Server, which is an ecosystem I worked in back in the day. They have a lot of them. But like Amazon, their biggest revenue generators are cloud services. In fact, their server and cloud services, Microsoft I'm talking about, their server products and cloud services account for almost half their revenue. It's like a cool $100 billion worth of revenue. Well, last week, their Enchantment Under the Sea cables were cut. Y'all remember Enchantment Under the Sea? That school dance back in 1955 when Marty showed up looking super McFly and saved his mom out in the parking lot from Biff and then played a tune that had Marvin Berry calling his cousin Chuck. Hey, Chuck, it's Marvin. You know that new sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this. And he holds the phone out so he can hear what Marty is jamming to, which is Johnny Be Good. Old Marty was playing the guitar like he was ringing a bell. I know that movie so well because it's my dad's favorite, so I've seen it a bunch. And I like it, too. Plus, the song starts deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans. So I'm a fan. That's where I came from, deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans. But, yeah, they cut these cables, and a lot of people don't know this, but much of the reason we get the World Wide Web is thanks to tech giants like Microsoft and Google and Meta. So pretty much the Middle East area, Pakistan and India and all that, their internet traffic was disrupted. AT&T and other telecommunications companies, they own quite a bit too, but due to the data demands of the modern age, these tech giants joined in with the telecom companies and scaled the number of cables dramatically. That's what they call the tech giants as it pertains to this, is hyperscalers. So anyway, in the Red Sea, cables were cut and it caused this disruption to internet traffic. So if you've wondered how fragile the modern world is, know that this could presumably happen anywhere. These cables, they're all under the sea everywhere and they're somewhat protected. They have heavy armory, some of them. Some of them are buried and they're always monitored, but I'm sure a hungry school of sharks or a determined terrorist group, if they could get to them, you know. What's a school of sharks called? Is that a shiver? When I was in high school, one of my best friends, you remember the song America's Most Wanted? I figured it's time for my regular Tupac talk. It's been a while. In that song, it wasn't Tupac, it was the D.O. Double Jizzle. He has a lyric that says, "My dream is to own a flock of seagulls like Bugsy Seagull and do it all legal." Except that's not what he says. That's what my buddy thought he said. And so that's how he would sing it. But what he actually says is, "My dream is to own a fly casino." So when I think of a school or of something or a pride or pretty much any group of animals, I think of my buddy's dream to own a flock of seagulls. And who was the prick that decided we have to call a group of something, no matter what it is, by a different name? And wouldn't it be easier if we could just call them one thing, like a gang of something? They had a gang of wolves or a gang of lions or just a whole gang of geese, a gang of honeys, you know, whatever. I'm proposing going forward we call a group of animals a gang for everything. Or what's wrong with group? Maybe it's not animalistic enough. Whereas this is a gang and I'm in it. That goes harder. I don't know. That's NWA. Yeah, I used to say know who the bad guys are. I had blog articles where I talked about that. Now it's you have to know who the enemy is, and it's them. Maybe they them. So I'm laughing finally. Thank you. Somber week. The fate of the free world, I'm convinced, is dependent on our ability to defeat this demonic ideology. That they're mutilating kids. They're letting the worst third world criminals into our country. Not to mention rampant inflation occurred, which erodes the savings you've worked so hard to accumulate, hoping to retire in peace in a peaceful world someday. Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, he said, "The left is always, at all times and places, a violent phenomenon of hatred." And I would just add, who will try to convince you they're compassionate? Let me leave you with this. Matthew Cochran on X said, if you sit down to play a game of chess and your opponent punches you in the face, you're not going to prevail by getting better at chess. Thank you for tuning in. This one wasn't easy. Charlie Kirk loved his family very much. He loved God. He wanted to be a great dad. He loved his country. And we do too. God bless America, God and you. Till next time, folks.